Good morning, everyone. We're continuing in our series on the seven dimensions of the mind. This morning is the fifth dimension, part three. The fifth dimension is pure superconsciousness, the mind of light, absolute consciousness. In fact, it seems upon entrance to be a new mind, so unrelated is it to all known forms of outer existence. Yet it does associate with the fourth dimension. There's an overlapping there, an interblending of the fourth and fifth layers of the periphery of the fifth, which dissolves as awareness penetrates into the mind of light, where there is no consciousness of time nor space, and things are transparent. From the fifth dimension, we can look millions of years into the past, the Akashic records, or project an object into the future according to vibratory rate. In that sense, it is beyond time, whereas the fourth dimension encompasses a radius of 9 days in its past, present, and future. That's a very interesting statement worthy of comment. In that sense, it is beyond time. So by beyond time, it means ordinary sequential time. In ordinary sequential time, the past is the past, the present is the present, and the future is the future. Future doesn't exist in the present, nor does the past. That's sequential time, which is from the fourth dimension down. But this is non-sequential time. In other words, the past and the future exist in the present. So it's non-sequential. It's still a sense of time. There is a past, there is a future, but it's all happening or accessible in the present moment in the fifth dimension. Then the other concept is, whereas the fourth dimension encompasses a radius of 9 days in its past, present, and future. This is the idea of limiting where the mind goes to 4.5 days in the past and 4.5 days in the future. If you're constantly going further in the past and 4.5 days and further into the future, 4.5 days, you won't be able to experience the fourth dimension. You'll end up in the third dimension, or ordinary thought and emotion. To hold the fourth dimension, we have to limit awareness to a 9-day period. There are vast areas of knowledge in the fifth dimension that can be consciously tapped. Deep laws of the inner workings of form and force fields can be unfolded. From here, we can penetrate the first dimension, the inside of the physical universe, and unravel the so-called mysteries of life from the cellular to the subatomic. From the fifth dimension, we can also look into and know other deep mind strata, the sixth and seventh dimensions. There are a multitude of phases within the fifth dimension. There is one phase that handles karma. Another controls time and time cycles. Another that provides for the coherent and disintegrating forces of evolution and forms. And still another that oversees light in its multiplicity of vibratory expression. Faculties of the fifth dimension operate totally separate from the third dimension. They are independent faculties. For instance, you could be cleaning the house and simultaneously be working at the fifth dimensional level in South America and not be aware of it or be aware of it. It is a totally different phase of the mind, almost like the beginning of a new mind from a certain perspective. That's a very interesting idea. In other words, we have an aspect of our awareness that's always functioning in the fifth dimension. It's active, it's doing things, it's aware. And we may be aware of that part of us or not aware of that part of us. Or aware of it sometime and not at other times. But it's still there, it's still doing things, it's still knowledgeable in its realm, and it's inside of everyone. Does not relate to your personality, to your intellect, or to anything you do or have done in the second, third, or fourth dimensions. The only way to bring through this consciousness is to have a very stable fourth dimension, divorced from the second and third. Otherwise, you would not be aware of your own functioning on the higher planes. From this we can see that the fifth dimensional world, which is a very vibrant world, is the core of the body of the soul and the pivot point from which human destiny is mapped out. Yet it is a world completely independent of all others. That is the paradox. It is all form in time and space, and it has nothing to do with what we normally call time and space. The fifth dimension is placid and contains everything, every replica of every object and every stage of evolution. Take this book, for example. It has its existence in the fifth dimension, totally encompassing every stage of its construction, aging, and decay, from split second to split second, as well as its final disappearance into other elements. If you were to look at this book from the fifth dimension, you would see it in its totality of evolutionary development and disintegration. And you would see all this right now. If you were to see a person from the fifth dimension, you would see him as an infant, a grown man, an old man, as dead, decayed, and reborn right now. Totally now. And every split-second area of his whole life pattern is the same with everything. There are 14 distinct nerve channels within the spine, each governing a complete mind territory, such as language, philosophy, music and art, science, medicine, politics, yoga, religion, and so forth. Only through the fifth dimension can awareness move into other channels. This is what gives people different mind structures, different points of reference, and different inner potential. They relate everything to the channels they are functioning in, and appreciate and socialize with others in the same channel. People functioning in contiguous channels are close, but unless they are flowing through the identical channel of Simshumbisi, they will not travel together in consciousness. They may travel closely, but not together. The scientist does not look at life in the same way the mystic does, and neither of them see it as the musician would. Each channel has its own color. The scientific channel is a very pale green, for example. The channel governing language is lavender and pale yellow. If awareness, for example, is functioning in channel D, it will normally flow there for the remainder of one's life. Awareness cannot move to, let us say, channel F from the second, third, or fourth dimensions. We must meditate extremely deeply in order to reach the fifth dimension at the throat chakra, where entrance into the Simshumbisi is made. That's the reason people are more or less set in their patterns throughout life. They are literally confined to one channel or another of their being, and there they remain, often appreciating others who function in vastly different ways, but unable to be that way themselves. Or so it seems. Basically, they do not have the stability of second-dimensional materialism or third dimensional mental and emotional forces well enough under their control to enter into the fifth dimension long enough to rechannel awareness. One of the reasons why devotees deeply enough evolve to perform sadhana seriously do not change teachers or maintain an eclectic attitude is that other teachers could rechannel them unconsciously or even consciously if he were unscrupulous. For that reason, there is an unwritten code among gurus that no one will take another student unless concrete permission is given for a specified purpose, such as training in a specialized area. Each teacher works on a different channel array, and his devotees must work carefully with that energy and not get derailed. The elders of Sri Lanka say that gurus literally own these territories of consciousness, that you cannot enter them without permission. I had never looked at it quite that way, but it is more or less accurate. I have a great story which develops the idea of Akasha, but we're going to save it for next week. Thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya.